SEN, Small Town Sporting Heroes with Paul Daffy.
Paul Daffy is brought to you by the Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. It's hard to find. It's easy to love the Standard Hotel. Paul Daffy's easy to love. Paul, good evening. You seem a bit happier with this week's song than last week.
Hello, Jack. Hello, listeners. Yeah, I had this brainwave. I mean, I don't know why I haven't thought of it before. It's the most obvious song with the word country in it that I know. Canned Heat. We've been, my brothers and I and various mates, we've been playing it since I was 15. 1971 track, just sort of a boogie band from the States. You're well known to a lot of listeners. And I thought, go on to the country. Let's just have that as the theme. So I've got in here at 4 minutes past nine. I said to Carl, we're going to change our theme tonight.
Poor old Carl was scrambling.
Carl said, what? Go on to the what? Is that in our system? I said, oh, probably not. Anyway, it wasn't, but he's found it. So good on you, Carl, our producer, for coming up with our new theme song with 1 minute's notice. Bit of canned, you can never go astray with a bit of canned heat. So I reckon
well,
that's just our new theme song.
Song makes plenty of sense, I reckon. I think you've chosen wisely compared to last week.
Yes, I had the brainwave cycling down past the flats in Richmond, heading across Church Street. So not very country-ish at all, but no. that's where it came to me.
Now, you've ridden your bike here tonight. Where's the rain? I thought it would be absolutely monsoonal by now.
No, I was actually talking to a mate about that tonight. He reckons it's this mate Giggs, who might be known to some listeners actually, Andrew Gigetz. So he's a regular Twitter person, Clifton Hill Cricket Club statesman. He's a weatherman, and he says, "Oh, it looks like it's going to hold off until might rain overnight, but not tonight." It was humid, and I was surprised to hear you say that it's only 24.
Yeah, it feels hotter than that.
Feels hotter. It's humid. There is something in the air. It's coming from three directions. Oh, it's like a perfect storm. Well, I've never known such anticipation of a storm. Because things never used to be so accurate.
Well, I saw all the news channels.
Maybe there might be rain.
I saw all the Channel 7 and Channel 9 and all that sort of stuff. They were setting up their crosses from areas that are prone to flooding, and saw some of the journalists had their raincoats on. It's not even raining outside at the moment, but they just thought they'd wear them in preparation. Makes no sense to me.
I wish someone put in their efforts towards the word side of things as well. But actually, Gig said tonight, he said, "Witcher Proof's expecting 220 millimetres. I said, "What?" So Witcher Proof's at the southern end of the Mallee, where that sort of Bendigo north central area meets the Mallee. And if they're expecting 220 millimetres, that's like a third of their annual rainfall in the next 3 days. Melbourne's expecting more than our... Giggs told me December 1993 was our wettest December, and we might have more rain. We might challenge that in the next 3 days. It does seem like something's coming.
My apartment block backs onto the canal that runs through Elwood.
Yes, another one.
And
is that the one that goes behind Ostermeek Park?
Yep.
Through the golf club there?
That's it.
Footy ground, yeah.
So yep. It floods. It needs about 4 mil of rain to flood. It will be, I'm guessing at some point it's going to be just about over the fence this weekend. If we get as much rain as what we're expecting, that canal just blocks up straight away.
Well, Mary Creek goes behind our house, and that does get up about once a year. I know the Butler boys have been known to go canoeing when it does get up. Actually, that's a good story. The Butler boys, there's four Butler boys who live near us, and their cousin is Dan, who just played in a premiership for Richmond.
Ah, yeah.
So Dan, actually, when he moved down from Ballarat, drafted, had a couple of frustrating years with injury, which he lived with his cousin, and he had a tail, and his uncle and auntie, Chris and Robin, put up a table tennis table, so they couldn't get rid of Jason Castagna. They played table tennis game hundreds of games after hundreds of games, which has been well documented. But it's those Butler boys might. I was talking to Chris, and so they got the canoes out last time. I can't imagine it. Mary Creek used to be filthy. It's now okay. It's basically a running drain, but much nicer these days.
Right. This is the hour every week where we drop a pin on the map and we shine a light on a country area and what is going on in their sporting community. Because as we know, and a lot of our listeners, Jake's just texted us from Bendigo and said that the rain looks it's hitting Bendigo and headed that way. So a lot of people know and understand that come from country areas, Paul, that local sport connects the community like nothing else. So where are we dropping a pin tonight? And then conversely, tell us how local sport's connecting this community.
Well, okay. It's pertinent that Jake's texted from Bendigo. We go 15 k's out of Bendigo to, it's not even a town. It's just a dish. It's a tennis court and a cricket oval and a community hall. It's called Axe Creek. Now, we're doing Axe Creek for the reason that they're having a multicultural, it's the cricket club, Axe Creek Cricket Club, plays in the Emu Valley Cricket Association.
Mm-hmm.
One wonderful cricket association just outside Bendigo, basically. Just to the east of Bendigo, there most of the teams are. So Axe Creek are having a multicultural day on Sunday. Now, when I got an email from the secretary, James O'Brien, about this, I thought, geez, Bendigo must have changed. I lived in Bendigo. I did my cadetship at the Bendigo Advertiser, but that was 25 years ago. So I was there from late 89 to 1992.
Yep.
Late 92. And in that time, I just remember there was in my first year there, I was a cadet and we were covering, it was a federal election in 1990, I think. Or might have been a state election, I'll have to think about that. But Bendigo was, this might be apocryphal, but in my memory, Bendigo was one of the whitest electorates in Australia. There was an electorate in northern Queensland, which was whiter, more Anglo-Celtic.
Yeah.
But Bendigo was, and it was. That was my experience, having grown up in Melbourne and having lived up north. And Darwin is a very multicultural place. Mm. Bendigo was about the same size as Darwin at the time. It's probably exceeded it now. But Darwin was very multicultural. And you go to Bendigo, it was just so white. And now to hear of a multicultural day, and I know Bendigo's grown, but I'm in regular contact with my old sports editor, Richard Jones, and he was telling me today that Bendigo's grown from 60,000 when I was there, 50,000 when he first arrived, to 110,000 now. Oof. There's a Black African refugees, Afghan refugees, a large Indian, Pakistani and Sri Lankan population, and many of those work in IT. But Bendigo is really, I mean, it's almost doubled in that 25 years since I've been there. And they've got the hospital. The Bendigo-based hospital is massive. There's been this $800 million renovation in recent times, and there's a huge medical fraternity there. The La Trobe University campus at Bendigo is thriving, I understand. And Bendigo Bank, of course, is based in Bendigo.
Yep.
So there's a lot of white-collar workers in the town. And, of course, people moving off the farms into those regional towns, which has served to swell Bendigo as well. And it's just a good place to live. I mean, we talk about climate. I reckon Bendigo's got the best climate in Australia. Sharp winters, but really
the winters
hot,
are fresh. Yeah.
Hot, dry summers.
Yep.
And autumn and spring are almost perfect. But it's going to be bucketing very soon, as Jake's just let us know. So this multicultural day has been put off from Sunday. They've got in early, so we're going to hold it in January. But I thought the principles still remain. There's much to talk about. How many cricketers of Indian background and subcontinental background are in Bendigo? It's a good marker of change. I mean, you could even just in Melbourne, not even in Melbourne. Melbourne's actually one of the great examples. I mean, you could drive past any cricket oval on any weekend, and there will be a large. There's likely to be an Indian player in the team or a team of Indian players.
Absolutely.
And they play winter competitions. They just can't get enough.
They play Sundays as well.
There's
quite a few dedicated Sunday cricket comps in that area.
And I was very curious to hear that it's happening in Bendigo and country Victoria as well. I think it's a good thing. So I thought this was a good vehicle to explore that. And it's good to talk about the mighty Axe Creek Cricket Club occasionally as well.
I've been trying to look them up. The biggest telltale sign for me that we were going real remote tonight, Paul, was when on Wikipedia, Carl, our producer, told me today that we're looking at Axe Creek. And on the first thing I saw on Wikipedia, most residents visit Bendigo for access to amenities, which is basically meaning there's nothing in Axe Creek.
Look, we'll ask James about it, but my understanding of Axe Creek is there's a cricket oval.
Yep.
A tennis court.
I'm looking at it on Google Maps as we speak.
Oh,
yep.
I'd say there's a community hall. Even just little community areas, there's a community hall. Whether it's still going, whether it's still functioning as a community hall, I don't know. But I reckon I'd be very surprised if there's more than a cricket oval and a tennis court. It's actually, the cricket club's actually based at Longlea.
Oh, yeah.
L-O-N-G.
Yeah, I saw that today, yeah.
L-O-N-G-L-E-A. It's a fantastic little area. If you go past it, I mean, I always think of Axe Creek. My old, the night editor when I was at the Bendigo Advertiser was Barry Cale. And Barry's a tough man and a great man. He taught me more than almost anyone in journalism, I reckon. His son Jim, actually, he's very well known in footy circles. Jim was a great player for Bendigo Diggers and went down and was a great player for St Mary's in Geelong. Regular Country Vic rep player. And that now actually works for AFL Victoria. He's one of the top men in community football. But Jim, for a hobby, he got a horse and jig. So he had this little jig. And he used to, if you're ever driving out Strathfield, say, Axe Creek, sort of to the east of Bendigo there, I remember once or twice seeing Barry Carr just trotting along with a little pony sitting in his little jig at the back. So that's what I associate Axe Creek with.
Well, we're going to find out more about that after the break. 9429 1116, or we've got a couple of SMSs telling us that they know a little bit about what's going on in Axe Creek. 0433 98 11 16. We'll take your calls, your SMSs very shortly. And the secretary of the Axe Creek Cricket Club, the Cowboys, James O'Brien, Cowboys, will join us after the break.
On 1116 SEN, Small Town Sporting Heroes with Paul Daffy.
Country, 23 minutes past 9, Small Town Sporting Heroes is with Paul Daffy and it's brought to you by The Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. Hard to find and easy to love, The Standard Hotel. Just quickly for those playing along at home, Sydney have recorded a win in the NBL, a second of the season, 81-72 over the Cairns Taipans. So well done to Gazy and his crew. But we are focusing in tonight on Axe Creek. Paul, for our listeners who may have just joined us, just give us a quick little refresh on Axe Creek, and its geography.
160 k's north of Melbourne and 15 k's east of Bendigo. So if you're going to Bendigo via the McIver Highway, which means you've gone up to Heathcote and then across, you'd go from Heathcote, you'd get to Axedale. I advise you to drop into the Axedale Tavern, a fantastic little pub. And then you continue on towards Junaton, which is on the outskirts of Bendigo. Before that, you'd see a turn off to Axe Creek. So it's sort of the east, approaching from the east. It's just outside of Bendigo.
Their secretary, James O'Brien, joins us on the line here, all part of what we're discussing in Small Town Sporting Heroes. James, good evening. Thanks for your time.
Hello, thank you.
We were just having a very good look at your website before the top of the show tonight. A small town, small area, but it seems like there's a lot going on at your club.
Oh, I like to call it the centre of the universe. we're trying to expand our membership. So we thought one of the ways we could do that is host this multicultural game and try to get these guys out to play with us.
James, it's Paul Daffy. So just tell us about the club first. I mean, we're not talking about a powerhouse of cricket here. It's a small club. Who plays there? How big is it? Are you healthy? Just tell us a bit about and how long has it been going, actually? How long has Cricket Club been around?
Yeah, it was established back in 1979 and moved out to Longleat sometime in the 90s. We won a premiership back in 2008. And since then, it's been a bit of a struggle. We had four teams at one stage. We're down to one team.
One dead to one, okay. And you're struggling to make that one team, or how are numbers?
No, numbers are pretty good. So there's a few people miss out each week, which is not a bad position to be in.
Okay. There's no town as such as Axe Creek, is that right? Can you tell us about the district, or what's actually there in Axe Creek? Is there an axe? So, is there a creek?
The Axe Creek goes right past our ground, which is why the ground was put there. It's in Longleat. So originally they watered the ground from the water from the creek.
Okay.
And when the drought happened, obviously they had to stop watering. So it's been a bit of a struggle. But the last 5 years, the facilities have really, really improved. We're watering the ground. We've got new nets out there, and we've got beautiful new clubhouse.
Really?
So things are looking good.
So is that all there is in Axe Creek? What else besides the clubhouse at the cricket club is there in the district?
A tennis court.
Tennis court.
There's the old Longleat Primary School there,
oh, yeah?
which is beautiful little building that's been renovated.
Still going as a private school? Or not?
No. But it's being used by the Bendigo Radio Club now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we've got the German Shepherd Dog Club out there on Sundays. They do their thing. It's just a lot of farmhouses. We're surrounded by paddocks and cows. A lot of cows around us. I guess that's why we're the Cowboys.
Makes sense.
It sounds idyllic. Now, but in an effort to boost numbers or to ensure numbers or just because you think it's the right thing to do, tell us about this Multicultural Day, and are you actually pushing for more multicultural players, or is this just a one-off?
Well, it came about with my involvement in the council committee, the Cultural Diversity Inclusion Program. Mm-hmm. I sit on that in the Sports Action Group, and I suggested this idea of having a Multicultural Day, because we know Indians, Sri Lankans, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, love to play cricket. You know, it's the sort of the common ground between the the Aussies and the Indians. So thought that would be a great way of breaking down barriers, but also helping our own club out.
Okay, what's your background, James? How it sounds like you work with subcontinental friends.
Yeah, I used to. I'm from Melbourne originally. I moved out here 16 years ago, originally from Elwood. The mighty Elwood Cricket Club.
Right.
And, moved up here, got a job at Bendigo Bank, which is why I moved out here. Hadn't played cricket for about 12 years. Really got into the more laid-back lifestyle out here and decided to take up cricket again and went down to my local ground and just the friendliest, nicest bunch of people I've ever met.
So how many Indian cricketers, Pakistani cricketers, et cetera, are there in Bendigo or the region of Bendigo?
Well, they actually have a team, an unofficial team. They're called the Bendigo Cavaliers Cricket Club.
Right.
And they play on a local oval every Sunday or just, sort of throwing together games.
Yep.
So that's kind of typical what happens in Melbourne, They all get together and
have a hit. I don't know whether you heard our first 10 or 15 minutes, but you drive past any oval in Melbourne and there's a good chance of seeing such a game going on.
Yeah.
It's a good marker of change to me that Bendigo has changed. I mean, described how Anglo it was 25 years ago, but with the hospital, the Bendigo Bank, the university, I mean, there's a lot more white-collar workers and their backgrounds are far more diverse than they used to be. Is that your experience, James?
Yeah, well, I work at Bendigo Bank and I work in IT, so we have quite a few Indians come into the bank, and just about every Indian name that comes in, I ping them and ask them if they play cricket. And
and how many how many in your IT department, and how many Indians would there be? What sort of percentage?
Oh, probably not great. Maybe 10% or so.
Oh, is that okay? Right.
Yeah, it's not. we've had four guys. From time to time play with us. Problem is they're on contracts, so they're not necessarily going to be here long term.
No.
But they certainly enjoy the opportunity to play cricket in Australia when they get the chance,
All right. How many of non-Australian backgrounds have you got at the Axe Creek Cricket Club at the moment?
Just the one at the moment. A great guy called Ganesh, who I work with. I got to know him, the Bendigo Bank, challenged the Bendigo Hospital to a cricket match.
Oh, big grudge match.
And,
not quite the Fitzroy Hotel competition. Yeah. But, go on.
It was a great night. It was under lights at the Queen Elizabeth Oval, and got to know Ganesh and a few other Indian guys. Invited them down from there.
Okay.
James, I'm interested to learn a little bit more about what's going on at your cricket club on your website, so I'll just read straight from there so that we get the information right. The only all-abilities cricket squad in the entire region. So tell us more about that.
This is true. So the all-abilities cricket team is a team made up of guys with intellectual disability. So we have two teams of that, and that's headed up by our all-abilities coach, Rob Fisher. Does an amazing job. He coaches, he works in disability. He casts a wide net within Bendigo to get these guys playing cricket. He drives the bus down to Melbourne for games. We've got two teams, and they absolutely love cricket, you know.
Okay. How are you going on the field? I mean, you're in division. I was surprised to learn there's, I mean, I used to just, the name alone is fantastic, the Emu Valley Cricket Association. It's a time-honoured competition. I was surprised to learn there's, well, there's four divisions, actually. There's Division 1, 2, and there's sort of a Division 3 split in half. You're in Division 2. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you're going.
Well, we have three wins, start the season with three wins, then we had three losses, and we're sitting sixth, and we had a good week last week. We made 360.
Oh, yes, please. But, now we're getting there.
So how many overs is that? You made 360?
75 overs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah, it's a pretty big score.
Well,
one of the biggest for a while.
Just to give it a bit of context, I've got the scorecard from the weekend in front of me, and I think James...
You've got to watch out for Jack,
James. Get the feeling, Paul, that James was just going to be really, very much a gentleman and share it around and talk about one of their players that got 100 and another was 96, not out. But there's a name at the top, Jay O'Brien, who made 52. I think you need to tell us a little bit more about that innings, please, James.
Oh, well, yeah, just the anchor man, really. I'm kind of the Renshaw to the Warner, you know. That name, Charles Reedy, he scored that 108 before, before tee. So that's, in 38 overs.
It's a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, just smashes him. He always plays that way. He's just unreal.
Okay.
And our captain, young Ashley Dixon, came out and he had to make 14 off the last over to get his 100, and he just fell short, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, it was... Did he have to... Well, he's fallen short by four runs, it sounds.
Yeah, 96 not out.
So was he facing the last couple of balls?
Yeah. He had an over and I yelled out to him, you need 14 to go.
So how close did he get? What happened in the last, say, two or three balls?
Well, he smacked it hard enough, but didn't quite make it. I think he was just... it was a hot day, and I think he was just...
A bit tired. 360, that's fatigued. How long since that's happened for the Axe Creek Cricket Club? That's a massive score.
Yeah, it's been a while. In fact, we used to hold the record. I played in the game against Mandurang. We made 595 in a day.
595 in a day?
One guy made 200, not out.
Gee, who was that out of interest?
Young fellow called Josh Malone.
Right.
Back in, a few years ago now.
Yep.
Yeah.
595. I'm trying to picture that. Oh.
Mandurang's a lovely winery area, Jack. There might have been many grapes going down or something.
Yeah.
That's a big score.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Well, I think we have stumbled on a very cool club tonight, the Axe Creek Cricket Club. We love the name, Paul. That's why we got attracted to this club in the first place. But they're the Cowboys. We like that too. And we like the fact that they've knocked up 361 on the weekend. We tend to support winners a bit on this program.
Just before we go, Jack, can I ask, it was to be Sunday, this Multicultural Day, but I understand you've decided late to postpone it. Is that right?
Well, we're going to see what happens Sunday morning, but, it's probably unlikely that we'll get on. Yeah.
You'll see Noah's Ark floating past. It might, the Axe Creek might flood. We'll see what happens.
It could. Yeah, we did get a riverine warning from the CFA today. So
yeah, well.
Not exactly sure what that means.
I think what warning, sorry?
A riverine warning?
Riverine.
Yeah.
I think that means go out the back, find the boat and the paddle and have it ready just in case. I think that's generally what those sorts of information's warnings mean. James, thanks for joining us tonight. It's been great to learn a little bit more about your cricket club and good luck for the remainder of the season.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your support.
James O'Brien, Secretary of the Axe Creek Cricket Club. It's interesting. We were talking to James about local leagues and all that sort of stuff. I hadn't forgotten, but it took me back. I was 18, so that's a while ago now, playing in a league in Dandenong, playing for a team that was a Sunday league competition, and it was predominantly subcontinental players, but you're allowed to... through various people, myself and another couple of people got playing in it. It was bloody good cricket. Jeez, it was good cricket. All on the hard wickets, all on the same grounds that they use on a Saturday. So it was a synthetic competition. It was tough. It was really, really tough. I remember it vividly as being ultra competitive. This wasn't hit and giggle. This wasn't let's all have a bit of fun and all that sort of stuff.
And you just got on via friends, did you?
Yeah. So another guy from the club was playing in it through a work colleague or something.
Yep.
And they were short one day and he rung me and... I came down and ended up playing the rest of the season out. The Jolly Jays, they were called. It was named after a restaurant in Dandenong.
The Jolly Jays.
Which I don't think is there anymore. But I remember it vividly. Like I say, I was 18, 19, so we're talking 15, 16 years ago now. But
during the footy season, we often talk about canteens at the various footy clubs. And I often mention Bullen Bullen as having the best canteen in country Victoria.
Yep.
What do they offer in that local Dandenong competition? What do they have for morning tea and afternoon tea?
Funny you mention that. So I knew nothing about this competition other than I jumped in a car with a mate and went to the cricket one day. I didn't quite realise, as someone who cannot do spicy food at all, not even sweet chilli sauce is about as far as I can go. And I completely didn't even think of the fact that there would be nothing there that I could eat. So I used to have to bring my own food. I had to bring a sandwich or a Subway or something like that because I couldn't, the food was too spicy.
Something bland for you, Jack, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a pretty vanilla sort of operator, Paul. I think you've worked that out by now. But it was very interesting to learn.
Culturally, yeah.
And a lot of the players couldn't play Saturdays because they were doing IT jobs or warehouses, etc. So that's why I say it was good cricket because they played on the Sunday and they played as if it meant the world to them. And you could tell by the way they played.
Mm. It's fascinating. Our guest after the break, Ganesh, is from Chennai, the old Madras in colonial times, which is a test venue. So, India has become the centre of, very much the centre of world cricket, isn't it?
Oh, they control the whole cricket universe now, pretty much.
I think they have too much control at international level, but that's a political discussion, which is probably beyond me, but it does seem that they have probably too much control. Just gives weight of numbers and weight of money, of course.
Are you across that story that's developing where the Indian Cricket Board are basically saying that, we don't want to be WADA compliant anymore. We're going to do our own testing and run our own version of the testing, but you can trust us. Like, we'll do it properly. We'll make sure that everyone's compliant and everyone passes the tests.
Yeah, that smells, doesn't it?
Oh, it opens up Pandora's box, doesn't it, for the rest of the world to say, well, we're not going to do it. Mm. If the Board of Cricket for Control in India don't have to comply, then why would the Athletics China have to comply or what,
Integrity is the biggest challenge in world sport at the moment. Probably always has been, really. But that cricket has got a problem with integrity. I love the fact that James Sutherland and others, of course, wanted to get this test schedule going so that the games actually mean something and count towards something larger.
Yeah.
And it's just what you're telling me there, I wasn't across that story, but that just it just diminishes integrity, doesn't it?
It's almost...
And sport has nothing if it doesn't have integrity.
Well, it pretty much just sticks their tongue out at the world body, doesn't it? Mm. And just says, you can't stop us. Mm. And that's what can happen when all of the money's in certain pockets of any sport, I guess you could say.
A friend of mine, Tony Wilson, went to the cricket and wrote a story about the amount of moustaches he saw. And, wouldn't raise eyebrows now. We've got all the hipsters with moustaches here, but it was very funny 15 years ago. It's funny to think how funny it was then.
Paul Daffy's brought to you by the Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. It's hard to find and it is easy to love. Still plenty more to come on Small Town Sporting Heroes.
On 1116 SEN, Small Town Sporting Heroes with Paul Daffy.
Minutes to 10 o'clock. Paul Daffy is in the house for Small Town Sporting Heroes, all thanks to the Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. Hard to find and easy to love. Stephen J. Peake and Howard Cotton are also up after 10 o'clock, so stay with us here on Melbourne's home of sport. 9429 1116 or 0433 98 1116 is how you can get involved. Incidentally, if you're listening to us and it's starting to rain in your neck of the woods, then give us the heads up. Let us know, because Paul's got a ride home tonight. And if he needs to leave 5 minutes early, we might have to let you go, Paul, to beat the rains.
Might be a good idea.
There's not much happening outside at the moment, but let us know. 9429 1116 or 0433 98 1116. I want to talk a bit of AFL participation figures before we finish up as well. But if you have just jumped in the car, we've dropped our pin in the map this week at Axe Creek, Paul.
That's right. Just before we do, text from Mildura, still dry there. So
it's interesting.
That's interesting. Well, then it's going to hit Northern Victoria very hard, apparently.
Might be waiting a while then.
That's right. Axe Creek, 15 k's out of Bendigo, Jack. Multicultural Day. We've asked James, how many players from the subcontinent do you have at the club? And he said one, Ganesh. So we've got Ganesh as our guest to speak about being a player with from an Indian background and playing at Axe Creek and playing in Bendigo at large. I just thought it'd be good to get Ganesh on. He was happy to agree to it this afternoon.
And he joins us. Ganesh coming off the back of 42 on the weekend, including a
42,
six. Including a six. I'm guessing at the back end of the innings, he's just opened up the shoulders and put one over the fence. Ganesh, good evening. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Jack. Good evening. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good days, Ganesh. Just tell us how you got to Axe Creek Cricket Club, Ganesh.
Sure. I was actually working with James O'Brien and the Bendigo Bank. Mm-hmm. So it was actually referred by James O'Brien. I was having a cricket background in India. We used to play cricket in India. Mm-hmm. So, but we used to play mostly in the tennis balls. But when I came to Australia, I just had a reference with James O'Brien. And I came to know that there is an Axe Creek club in which he was the president when he was playing there, and he has invited me to play over there. So I just started my season, I reckon, in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it's almost my third season. And it was like, I just found it's a very good sportsmanship in the club. Mm-hmm. So I was just continuing for almost three seasons over there.
Okay.
And I started my, I started playing in cricket ball in Australia. And I was like motivated by the team, and I just love to continue to play in the Axe Creek.
So when you played in India, you only played with tennis balls. Is that what you're saying?
That's right, yeah. I haven't touched a cricket ball in India. There was a competition going on, but it's like in India, it's more like you have to go to regular training, and it will be like, it won't be near to our places. It will be like far away from the place where we reside. But when I came to Australia, I see everything is, I can just easily get it. Like, it's easy to going distance, and it's easy to go into the club and play with them. And we have all the matches happening inside the Bendigo itself.
So cricket is
very good.
Cricket is just more accessible here, it sounds. Is that one of
that's
the?
That's right.
Is that one of the differences?
That's right.
Where are you? When you say home, can you tell us where you're from, Ganesh?
Yeah, I'm from Chennai, which the older name is Madras,
yes,
which is the south part of India.
Chennai is a test venue, of course, where Dean Jones made his double century in 1986.
That's right. It's a very crowded place as well.
Very crowded. How many people in Chennai, Ganesh?
You can see almost like, if I consider the Tamil Nadu as a whole, it's like almost like you can get around like 1 crore of population or something. Mm.
Say that again, sorry.
It's around, if I consider the Tamil Nadu as a whole, if you consider the overall India, there are around maybe 107 crores of population.
Yep.
Yeah. So there are huge population, actually, if you consider the India. And if you consider Chennai, it's almost like 1 crore, something around.
Okay. So it's a big place. I'm actually surprised. I've just looked up your test stadium. Capacity of 38,000. It surprised me that it's not bigger. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But the very difficult thing is like the parking and everything. It's very difficult to get the parking out there.
Is it difficult to get a ticket? Like, have you ever been to the cricket?
That's right. It's very difficult to get the ticket because once they announce the match is going to happen in the weekend, almost within maybe 2 or 3 hours, all the tickets will be sold. So it will be very difficult to get the tickets as well.
When you watch the cricket on television, it never sounds like there's 38,000 people. It sounds like there's more like 138,000 people there.
That's right. Because you can see the people who are on the top of the building and
all. Okay. So I presume you didn't come to Australia to play cricket at the Axe Creek Cricket Club, Ganesh. How did you get to Bendigo for a start? I mean, did you come to Melbourne and just job opportunities?
Actually, my job placement, I was working in a software firm. So they just put me straight away in Bendigo, where I just work in the Bendigo Bank.
Okay.
So I started my career in Australia in Bendigo, and I'm still continuing in Bendigo because I feel like it's a very, as I said, like it's multicultural, and I feel more secured in Bendigo. So even if I want to go to Melbourne or something, I prefer like going in the weekends and coming back.
So I like it there, okay.
Yeah, I like Bendigo because of its calm city as well. So it's not overcrowded. Maybe it'll be crowded in future, but as of now, it's not overcrowded, and it's going good.
Okay. And what about how many, this might be hard to say, but how many cricketers with your background do you think there are in Bendigo?
There are a lot of people, actually. I saw a few people. There were matches happening between the Indian communities. So I just found around maybe 20 to 22 players. I just found maybe 3 months before. They were just playing near the Veruna College. They were having a local competition. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of people there, actually.
Mm. Okay. And just on the Saturday cricket, you're playing for Axe Creek in the Emu Cricket Valley. Sorry, in the Emu Valley Cricket Association. Is there anything you don't like about playing in that competition? Like, is for example, is there a lot of sledging you don't like, or it's all good-natured?
Sorry, can you please...
Is there anything you don't like about the cricket culture on a Saturday afternoon in the Emu Valley Comp?
Yep.
Well, and what's that?
You mean the cricket match on the weekend?
Yes. I mean, is it all good, or is there some aspects of playing in the Emu Valley Association that you find difficult?
No, it's very good, actually. I feel very good because I can see that... the only thing, maybe the lot of overs, we need to be in the field.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I was feeling a little difficult. But other than that, I really enjoy cricket because a lot of sportsmanship within our club. And all the times, like, I get motivation throughout the day.
Okay.
And so, Ganesh, more importantly, just from the weekend as well, 361 the team's made. You're looking in a pretty good position.
That's right, yeah. We don't want... any natural calamities to disturb that one.
No.
We should still play the match, and we are hoping to win the match.
Okay. You scored
a good score.
You scored 42. Is that a regular knock for you, or was that a...
It's not regular. Like, I used to try to play, I'm just improvising my game, but it was like I played in the first match, got some runs, but after that, it's a good... I got it a good form on the last weekend, and I got some 42. So it's like whenever I'm in the good form, I used to score some runs, like around between 30 to 50.
That's what we like.
Right. Yeah.
He's come in at number 6, Paul, and just finished off the innings beautifully with a 42 and batted around those scoring runs as well. That's what the finishers do, batting in that middle order. That's perfect. Hey, Ganesh, it's been lovely to have you on the show tonight. Thank you for being with us and telling us a little bit about your story. And I think the rain's going to affect your game on the weekend, but good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jack.
Good on you, Ganesh. Thank you.
That was great.
It was great. The tennis ball detail got me. And
that was
got
incredible.
You as well.
Incredible.
I wouldn't have known that. I mean, you see... pictures. I haven't been to India. One of my brothers went there for about 5 months once. But you see all those pictures of cricket games just going on everywhere. But I suppose maybe there's not a lot of structured comps with all the gear and the hard balls.
I think,
or as much as there is here.
I'll try and be as accurate as I can here. And by no means do I mean to offend if I get some of it wrong. I think it can be a bit of a, not a class thing, but I think sometimes if you can't afford to play, or your parents can't afford to put you out there, there's nothing like we have in terms of programs available.
I remember in the 70s, it was very much, you know, the best players were from the upper classes.
Yeah, and that's still the case.
It's still the case. Donny
comes from a rich family. Harbhajan was from a rich family. Coley's not so much. Coley's a bit of a
street fighter.
An outlier. Yeah, he's a street fighter, but a lot of them do, yeah. Dravid?
Yes, the wonderfully elegant. He's the most urbane, sophisticated man you could ever
As was Ganguly. Sourav Ganguly, he was very much the same. I think he's in cricket commentary now, and I think he might be in a bit of politics as well.
Yeah. So I think there are more opportunities now, but it's certainly not. Yeah. I actually played a social, I played about three games of cricket in my life, but social games. I was playing for East Coburg, and it actually was a club game. I was a ring-in through George Georgia. G'day, George, if you're listening. And there was about four Pakistani guys, and it was fascinating. One of them was a doctor at the Alfred, I think. And they were just saying they like playing cricket in Australia because theoretically everyone can play for Australia. There is a structure which means you can play for the East Coburg fourths, and if you're good enough, you can work your way up through the ranks to the Australian team.
Yep.
Where in Pakistan, that's just, I mean, there are certain parts of the country which just, you've got no hope of playing for Pakistan. Mm. You've got to be sponsored almost to get into the, I think their domestic first class competition was basically work based, I think. Like there was a bank.
It does sound something familiar like that, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's quite a powerful statement. He was a great batsman, actually, this guy. He was too good for the comp, for the team we were playing in. But he just said, look, everyone here can play for Australia. That's people underestimate that here.
We're very lucky with that.
It is certainly not the case
yep.
where I'm from.
So we're very lucky with that.
I've taken that with me. Yeah.
Just before I let you go, just a number today that was released by the AFL. You are the guru of country footy. This one will jump out at you, I reckon. The AFL have announced their participation figure for 2017 sits at 1.5 million, essentially. A little under 1.5 million. Women playing the game make up 30%. That's a huge stat. If I'd have said that to you 5 years ago, would you have believed that was possible, given what you know about country footy and grassroots footy?
5 years ago, not at all. But just what do you mean participation? Like Australia's only got 25 million people. 1.5 of them play footy.
Seemingly, yeah. I'm guessing some form of... Don't be surprised if that includes like AFL Nines or their social games, but...
Well, it must, because I know there's... Say there's 80,000 registered country footballers, 10,000 amateur footballers, and then the suburban comps. So there's 200,000 registered to play senior men's football in Victoria.
In Victoria, yeah.
Victoria's clearly the most populous footy state. And so, I don't know, let's just say 100,000 South Australia, Western Australia, get up to 500,000. I don't understand where 1.5 million comes from for a start.
I'm guessing there's a social element to that, yeah.
So it obviously means more than just your regular four quarters of Sunday afternoon footy. As you're saying, AFL Nines might even be an Auskick, I'd suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all that sort of grassroots stuff.
Auskick's the biggest grass ever. But your point is that there's 30%, whatever the figure, 30% of it is women. That is stunning. That's happened in the last 2 years. I know that I think the amateurs are running a women's comp this year, so I'm not sure what's happening with the actual original Victorian Women's Footy League.
It's gone.
It has gone.
It's gone. So it's essentially...
They've all gone to men's comps.
They have, yeah.
This is an irony.
They've merged, yeah. So I think it was Darabin...
Falcons?
Diamond Creek,
yeah,
I think.
Two very strong.
St Kilda Sharks. They're no longer anymore. I think they've all they've all merged.
But they're very strong. They were the strongest.
But they've merged
with Melbourne Uni.
I think they've aligned with St Kilda and all that sort of stuff. It's all to the vision of every AFL team having a women's team at some point, I think you'll find, down the line.
That makes sense.
Fascinating space in the next couple of years.
A question. Oh, man. This is a long discussion, and again, we're speaking from a point of ignorance, but what happens to netball? I can only see it suffering.
Yeah, well, footy's now becoming
a viable option. Yeah. If the best athletes are playing footy, there's just fewer to go to other sports, and you'd suggest some of those traditionally would have played netball. Maybe they'll play netball as well.
Yeah, well, there's Collingwood player doing that next year. So
yes,
interesting to see. Paul Daffy brought to you by the Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation in the back streets of Fitzroy. Thank you, Paul. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, mate.